The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
He's gonna tap. You look for the new guy when the guy's been right there the whole time.
There's black belts, and then there are black belts. And I'm a Sarah BJJ black belt.
Aljamain Sterling, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
Big shot. Oh, that one really hurt
him. Trouble.
Derek Brunson, your winner by knockout in round three.
So many people betting against me and having so much negative to say, but I had so much support, and I meant way more than any negative.
Guys, speak for everyone. We can't wait to see you get back in there. Derek, enjoy yourself, buddy.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. As you can see, Matt is gone. That or you think it's Matt, because you guys do kind of, you have a similar appearance to Matt Serra. So some people who are just kind of glancing might not even notice. Matt's over in Abu Dhabi, I think, with Dana doing, looking for a fight. So Matt gets to go over to Fight Island a lot, which I've never gone to. I would love to. Wouldn't you love to go there?
I'd love to go there just to, be over in that part of the world, plus take the flight. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Dude, isn't that part of it? The flight? Don't you think of the flight, like how great it would be to be on like Etihad for 15 hours in business?
Well, because we fly so much and we've been in coach so much of that of our lives. And then when you get upgraded, it's like, it's just amazing. Yeah. So to fly that type of, first class is, not too many people get to do that. So, yeah.
No. And we have a good show today. We have Aljamain Sterling, who's finally getting his title shot against Piotr Jan. And we have Derek Brunson, who's fighting Kevin Holland, which is an incredible fight. I don't know if you've been watching. I mean, Brunson's on a 3-fight win streak, but Kevin Holland won 5 fights in 2020. I mean, it was a shit year, but for him, it was an incredible year.
Yeah, I mean, they're both incredible. And Holland, especially being such an underdog and winning and proving everybody wrong. And he's not a spring chicken. He's not, in his early 20s. So it's pretty impressive that he's fighting so good right now and kicking ass. So it's going to be wild.
Yeah. And I love Aljo too. He's such a nice guy. And his last fight, first round went over Sanhagen was, he had to get the shot. There would have been something wrong with it if he didn't get the shot. Like it would have been completely unfair. Unless John Jones went down to bantamweight and they wanted to give him a fight, then all right, I can see him getting. But aside from that, I can't see anybody who would have deserved that shot more than Aljamain.
Yeah, and his story is so amazing. Like I'd watch a movie. I mean, the thing that the UFC put together, was so touching. I had to stop it a couple times. I related to it too, with my backstory, with my dad and stuff like that. So it's to see him come into this from where he came from is pretty wild, Plus he's got so much personality too. I love it,
Yeah. Have you spoken to him before? Have you been on, have you guys been on together?
No, never spoken. I haven't spoken to any fighters since I think the last time I was on the show, which was a while ago. I think before the pandemic.
Adam Hunter, Adam Hunter. He's
love him.
Yeah, I do too. I love Adam too. He did a his special is on the first page of Fight Pass. So I opened up my Fight Pass today because I wanted to watch the end of Shabazi and Brunson again. And there's Adam Hunter on the front of it. So congratulations to Adam. And I saw little clips of it. I haven't watched the whole thing, but it was very funny.
I used to love his roast when he would roast the fighters.
Yeah.
And he would roast the fight. It was really hilarious. So.
It's funny too, Bobby, because you know how it is as a comic. Like, you never know how an athlete is going to take getting shit on. Like, you never know if they're going to respond well to it. You have a good knack for that. Bobby is one of those guys that can literally just kind of walk in and just shit on people and be loud, and they just love you. And if I do it, they want to knock my teeth out. Maybe because I blink and I'm creepy. But you pull it off, man. You can really just shit on anybody, and they kind of accept it.
Yeah, but fighters, like, I remember they were doing the award shows every year. I don't know if they still do them, but they had the fighter awards, and they had a host would come in and, you know, like Billy Crystal, the thing. And they asked me to do it one year, and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because I heard the year before, and you know this because you hosted the AVNs.
Yes.
It's, you know, to piss off a porn star is one thing. What are you going to get, Hep C? To piss off, you know, a fighter, you know, you're going to lose your teeth. So it's, I was like, I'm good, man. You know, I mean, I could walk in a room and talk. My favorite thing is ever is when we went to UFC 100 and we were backstage with all the fighters and how annoying you were. And that you pissed off Wanderlei so much.
Oh, yeah, I did. That's right. He was trying to eat, and I wanted to take a picture with him. And he got so I didn't. He took the picture, but he's just looking at me like I was this fucking little awful bird on his shoulder. He really hated me.
It was like a 10x10 room where these fighters could come and just get relief from the fans.
Yeah,
because they were just with them all day, and you know they were, and they came in, and there you were with a pair of gloves. Hey, Vant. And he had a plate of food. He just wanted it. He goes, I'm eating. And you were like, okay, after. And you just stood behind him and you could feel your energy.
I know. I felt bad about that.
But you didn't give up. Like, I would have walked away.
And the gloves, by the way, I still have. I would do those for personal. I was as a fan. I would never sell them. They weren't for sale. Everybody was there that day too. I remember there was Frank Mir was back there. JDS. Nate Diaz, Benson Henderson, we talked to, Wanderlei. There was a lot of people, Cowboy. There was a bunch of people there that day. It was really, what a fun time that was.
Oh, that was great. I remember Ronda Rousey was there. That was at the beginning.
Right.
When she was coming over. I believe she was either she was coming over or just came over or something like that. But yeah, it was pretty, UFC 100, that fan, whatever that's called.
The expo
the fan expo was epic. It's crazy.
I hope they do another one. I went with Matt one year. We did a live broadcast, and it was fun to do. But the problem with live broadcast, we've done it twice actually in Vegas, and they're really, you have to do them in a small room because unless you're doing crowd work, you know how it is, dude. When you do a live, if we're going to do what you and I are doing right now, just talking with an audience listening, it's got to be a small crowd. But this was. They had like Chuck Liddell and a couple of other people signing in the corner. And then Matt and I are on stage and there's people, milling about talking. We can hardly hear each other. It was a fucking nightmare. So like next time I'm like, we got to get a small little tent and do it. It's hard to do in front of people.
Yeah. Plus two, that the people that don't want to be there don't have to be there. There's nothing worse when they put you out in the open somewhere and people that don't want to be there. You know, people that oh man, hello, you got me. That people that don't want to be there are actually there, you know, against their will. You can just feel their energy. You got to do it in a small room so that people come to you. It's your fans. I'd rather do 20 people that are just fans than 300 people than they gave all the tickets out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, with paper in the room and they just walk in and get a glove signed or something signed. And then here's these two idiots on stage babbling. Hey, we got Aljamain Sterling is ready. So let's bring Aljo into the room.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it.
Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, congrats, man. Very, very happy that you are finally getting your justified shot. How good does it feel to finally know, all right, it's happening?
It feels great. We were here before, and I was kind of a little nervous with TJ coming back, and wasn't sure if the UFC was going to still honor, you know, the deal that they put in place, because not like I was the one that pulled out of the fight.
Right,
and, I'm just glad everything was back to the way it was supposed to be.
Did you get a reason as to why Jan dropped out of the first fight? I know he said personal reasons. Did you figure out what it was, if it was an injury or it was something else that just was, you know, not injury related?
I've heard so many different things. I heard that it was personal reasons. I was like, okay, maybe it's like family was sick or something.
Yeah.
Or I know he just had a newborn son. So I was like, maybe it's something with the kid. But these are all things in terms of like having a kid, like, you know, when a kid was going to be born. Like, so I wasn't sure if that was the reason, because it didn't make a ton of sense. And then the visa didn't make any sense, because he posted that he had the visa issues already taken care of. And then I was hearing that he was injured, but then he's posting videos of him working out. So I'm just scratching my head, like, what is going on for him to just pull out of the fight? Like, and sure enough, from my end, I've got a couple of theories, and people might not be too happy with what I got to say. And honestly, it's just what I think. Maybe it's he didn't have enough time to train, and he feels that his training camp wasn't adequate enough for the level of fight that was going to be. So those are the only two things that could come to mind. Everything else is kind of bullshit to me at this point. So that's just the way I feel. I don't think he was ducking me. Like I said before, I don't think he's that type of person, but I do think something doesn't smell right, you know? So something's a little off with that. There's no real reason. It's kind of messed up, because for you to take a fight, have me do all this stuff, have any fighter do all this stuff, and then you randomly decide, I just want to pull out. That's kind of fucked up.
By the way, Bobby, we talked to Aljo not long ago, and you still have the balloon up. I can't believe it's still there.
Yeah. We play a lot of Smash Brothers in this house and chess. Ever since that show, Queen's Gambit.
Yep.
And one of my roommates, it said 31, because I had turned 31 last year. And he took the one and put it on his door because he won one match. And he thinks he's number one in the house now. So I got to put the number three on his door and take the
number one back. Did you like the Queen's Gambit? Did you like the show?
Oh, it was amazing. I've become an avid chess player since then.
I actually hated it. I was so mad at it. When I was done with it, I was cursing. And then somebody told me that it wasn't a movie. It was actually a TV show, and there was more episodes.
You thought you thought it was just that one thing?
I thought it was the one episode. I thought it was a movie. And I was so mad at the ending. I was like, what the fuck? And then they were like, oh, no, that's a TV series, dummy. And I watched the rest of it. I was like, oh, this is a great TV series, but a shitty movie.
Yeah. I was like, how do you not like it? It was such a good show.
I only saw part of the first episode, and I love chess. So did you just learn? Because me and Bobby used to play. Aljo, did you just learn chess, or you learned and you re-picked it back up?
I just learned how to play chess.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just started playing Friends with Chess again with me and Norton used to play all the time. I've only beaten him twice in 15 years.
Oh, wow. We'll play again. We'll start again, because I just started playing on my app again, like literally probably a month ago. I haven't played anybody in so long. It's a fun, it really is fun. And you realize the level of genius people who are great at it, like people who can do it on a championship level. That's like, I'll never be there.
Yeah. It's very challenging mentally. And now every time I say this is chess, this ain't checkers. So whenever
you
I'm talk training shit? Or anything like that. Oh, I
do
talk
shit. You talk shit when you play chess? Because we used to play at the comedy club, and one of our friends used to, it was very, very belligerent as you're playing. He would just call you a bitch. and say he's gonna take your queen and do nasty stuff to it.
Yeah. If you took your queen out, he would actually touch. I hated when he would touch my pieces, and he would actually pick the queen up and say, ah, let's see what color panties she has on. And he would turn my queen upside down. And I hated my piece being touched.
Yeah. Did you win? Did you beat him?
You know what? I would beat Keith, but not all the time. He was a decent player. But he beat you the way guys in the park beat you, where he's got you so frustrated. Like, it's probably like fighting in a way. When you get so emotional and angry at somebody, you make mistakes.
Yes. Yes. I get caught like that all the time.
When you get too emotional.
In chess. And because I'm just so fast to just make a move. Like, let's play. And
How do you stop? Sorry, Aljo. How do you stop yourself when you're fighting? How do you stop yourself from allowing an anger at somebody who has said something you don't like, or like, you know, when guys talk before a fight, or resentment over the fact that Jan pulled out? How do you stop that stuff from interfering with what you're doing in the cage and not kind of letting you make mistakes because you're pissed off?
I've had enough competition for wrestling matches, jiu-jitsu matches, fights to this point where I've been able to find the balance of where I need to be mentally to compete at a high level. And, me being angry is not the best. And just under that for me is where I need to be. So I don't need to get super riled up, but I need to be at a certain intensity where everything I do is just sharp. And I don't really have to second guess or think about what I'm doing. Well, there's a thinking process, but everything's kind of like you're in a tunnel vision zone where you can just see everything and you could make those moves and calculate what he's going to do in response a couple moves ahead. So it's almost like playing chess. I say it's a physical chess match. And you can't get too riled up because I've been in that position where I know if I get too emotional, what happens? So just to be able to kind of reset and keep yourself in that mindset the entire time, that's tough, but that's the game. Those are the great players.
UFC put together a really, emotional, beautiful little doc, Not Broken, about your life. And I watched it, and I had to stop it a couple of times. I had a similar childhood, but it was beautiful. It was sad and inspirational, and your family and you and where you're at. And did you get a chance to see it? And how do you feel about that?
Yeah, he told me. Rory gave me a heads up beforehand, and he said, "Just give you a heads up, this is going to be pretty intense. You might want to watch it by yourself, just in case, just before you watch it with your fiance." And I put it on with her, and I didn't think, I was like, how bad could it be? And not how bad, like how intense can it be in a sense of like touching way? And as soon as I watched it, within the first 15 seconds, I had to turn it off. I was like, I can't watch this right now. This is, and I was watching with her. I was like, because it just gave me flashbacks. And even when I was talking to him, it was a emotional roller coaster, because those are things you kind of you bury it, put in a coffin, you bury it, and you just kind of throw away the key. And I don't really think about those things too often. So for me to have to dig that up in that grave and go back to those memories and try to remember some of those things that I always try to forget, that was tough. So for me to do that piece was very, very challenging. It was a couple of long pauses and just trying to center myself and not start bawling on tape like a little child. So
and you're seeing your mom talk too, and watching your mom talk too. Like if you're watching it like just a perspective of sitting there and watching the whole thing, then you're seeing what your mom is saying. Because I doubt you're in the room when she's giving the interview, right?
No, I did mine in Vegas. She did hers in New York. So yeah. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. And watching hers, and there's so much more that goes into it. I mean, just so I make this clear, because a lot of people think I'm like resentful against my dad or something. I'm like, I'm over it at this point. I'm at a certain age where it's like, I understand. I don't think it's the right things that he's done in terms of raising kids, but I understand where he was at mentally, and probably he was a kid raising kids. So in that sense, I guess I forgive him, but I would never forget the stuff that he's done to us, especially to me, because I feel like a lot of things that he did do altered the way that I am today in a significant way, where even to this day, I still remember certain stuff that I still do because of him, and not in a good way, you know? So it's just that negative influence that you can have on your kids. And he just had two kids. He has one that's 2 years old, a baby boy. And another one that's on the way. I don't know if this is his way of like righting the ship and doing things the right way as an adult, as a parent. Maybe it is. He's 62 years old now. So I don't
know. Oh, now he just had two kids.
Yeah. He's crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. So that family of 20 is just slowly increasing again. So,
I had a stepfather that was when I was a kid, and a lot of similar incidents when I was watching it. I had to stop it a couple of times too, because it was, you know, I mean, but like you said, you know, I had resentment against my mom and stuff. And it's interesting you say that. My mother was, you know, 18 and there were kids and didn't know what they were doing or whatever. But it does later in life. I have a 7-year-old now, and all those things that are so prevalent in my life of what not to, I know exactly what not to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And it's tough, man, because even like talking about that stuff, sometimes it makes me feel like I'm not manly enough, or, you know, or macho, because that's always been my bravado growing up. It's like, I got to prove that I'm a man, you know, and mainly because of him. It's like, I almost felt like I had to prove that over and over again. Maybe that's why I fight. Maybe that's why I started wrestling. Maybe I always had this anger, you know, and when I get to compete, I'm just super competitive because I like to just prove. I have to prove because I never got that approval from my dad. And even till this day, for him to just say one time, I'm proud of you, would probably all right, I'm good.
It would mean a lot.
It would mean a lot. And it's not like I need it, but it would be nice to know that you did something that made your dad say, I'm proud of you, son, you know? So it is what it is, you know? So I don't think about it, you know, that side's buried, and I just know I'm just going to be a better man. That's it.
I just want to say that, you know, as a kid who had the same thing watching that, and I want to say that, you know, where you're at and what you've done and how you took care of your family and what you've become was very inspirational. And for me personally, it made me feel good. And it inspired me and made me feel great inside to see what you've become, knowing that I've had some similar stuff. So you should be very proud of yourself, because you know what you've done and the lives you've affected around you is pretty amazing and pretty epic, man.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. At the end of the day, I feel like I've made the most out of what I've been dealt, and I'm happy about it, you know. So I know, like I said, I got a big family. We all got different experiences with my dad. He's got a lot of half siblings, and I get it. Mine wasn't as pleasant as some of the others, but for the most part, we have a lot of similar experiences with him. And again, I guess for me, I could just only hope. I know he did. I heard that he did see the piece, and I guess he felt kind of shitty, and I could imagine how he felt. And I feel bad in that sense, but, you know, it's my story.
Sure.
And this is what he calls. And I hope he just realizes the impact that he's had on a lot of his kids, not just from a physical standpoint, but also mentally and emotionally, you know. So
maybe that story will help these other kids that he's having now have a better childhood, and maybe he'll be a better dad to them.
That's all I could hope for. Yeah, that's all I could hope for. So hopefully that is the case. And again, it's just like talking about this. Sometimes I feel like I'm not looking for pity or anything like that. It was just something that ended up turning into this. And I'm talking with Rory. I didn't think it would turn into this at all by any means, but it did.
I was so glad it did, dude. It's you know, because I love the UFCs. I love what they do with the pre-fight stuff. But this was probably my favorite one they've ever done, because it was so real. And so, and, you know, and you're such, you know, you're such a great fighter, man. You're such a badass. So you don't have to worry about manly or anything, dude. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, your name's Funk Daddy on here, for God's sakes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Where'd you come up with that name, Funk Master? Where did that come from?
It was a big homage to Ben Askren, who I mimicked a lot of my style from in high school, and not even in high school, in college. I used to watch his videos, his flow wrestling breakdown videos and stuff, his technique breakdowns, and take my notes, write it down, take it to the room, practice. And I couldn't use his nickname. And I was asking some of my teammates and training partners, like, what they think would fit. And Funkmaster was kind of like a collaborative of what everyone thought would probably be the best fit to describe my style of wrestling and my style of actually fighting, too.
That's great.
You mentioned Ben Askren. I was thinking of him today for some reason, like his fights with Lawler and Masvidal and Damian Maia. And it was weird. Like, he had a hard time when he came in the UFC. And then Michael Chandler now is fighting Dan Hooker,
yes,
on a co-main for Conor and Poirier. And that's an interesting fight. You wonder what it's like for guys who come into the UFC when they already have a very established name. Like, is there additional pressure because they've been so successful somewhere else? Is there more pressure on those guys than normally a fighter coming up?
I think so. I think Michael Chandler's got his hands full with Dan Hooker. And I think for that reason is he's not the tallest guy at the weight class. He's very powerful. We know he can hit hard. We know he can wrestle. His jiu-jitsu, I would say, is probably competent to that of Justin Gaethje in terms of his style is just wrestling heavy and not much actual jiu-jitsu. And then when you couple that in with a guy like Dan Hooker, who's been in the deep waters, so he knows what it feels like. He's fought a tough Edson Barbosa fight. He's fought a tough fight with Dustin Poirier, tough fight with Paul Felder. We know he's been battle-tested. We know Michael Chandler's been battle-tested, but this is such a different dynamic. You're fighting the aura of the UFC fighters who are supposed to be, we're supposed to technically be on paper the best fighters in the world. And I think most people would side with that, which I do. So I think for him, he's got his hands full, not knowing if he's probably going to have to battle those demons of knowing or questioning if he's good enough to compete with a guy like Dan Hooker. I think that's going to be the real question for him. He's talented, but he's been hurt before. He's been dropped before. He's been knocked out before. This is a tough fight. This is a very tough fight for him.
Yeah, and you're on a great card, man. A great card. We were talking before, too, about actually, I was talking with Antonio before the fight, the podcast about Blachowicz against Adesanya. Yeah, it was just such, and I love Adesanya. That's a tough fight, though. I think Blachowicz is very overrated. I'm sorry, underrated. I think he's very underrated, where guys know how good he is. But I think a lot of people, because he's not the biggest name in the UFC, I think that he is a little underrated in people's minds. And Adesanya has his hands full going up in weight and fighting him.
I think so. It's a fun fight. I think Izzy's got the speed.
Yeah.
But Jan, I wrote him off for a lot of fights, and he constantly just shows up. I thought Corey Anderson was going to beat him again. Came back, knocked out Corey Anderson, knocked out Luke Rockhold. And then what he did to Dominic Reyes was like, wow. In my head, I thought Reyes would have made it a super technical fight. Reyes hits hard. He has dropped guys. And John just beat him up to the body with those body kicks and eventually put him down. And I was like, man, this is not the way I thought this fight was going to go. He looked very dominant. The Polish power, I think, is real.
Yeah, I do too.
And I'm a big Izzy fan, but he can't trade with him. It's going to be like a Yoel Romero type of style, I think. And I think the same thing when Romero hit him that one time, he kind of was like, okay, we're going to have to just fight on the outside, just use the leg kicks to win the fight. And that's what we're going to have to do. Touch and go, touch and go, touch and go. He can do that against Blachowicz, but I don't know. I think he's a little bit smarter, and he's a champ for a reason. And I think it's going to be a very competitive fight.
I'm so bad at picking fights, though. I mean, Matt is definitely better than I am. Dude, I suck. Like, I had Kevin Holland over Jacare. But, I mean, could you have anybody – did anybody pick Kevin Holland being on the floor when he knocked out Jacare? Like, did anybody think that was – like, it's really, really difficult to pick fights, I guess, because – there's so much parity in the UFC now because so many guys are good at so many different forms of mixed martial arts. But We have Brunson on next, and that's another interesting fight too. Is Kevin Holland against Derek Brunson?
Yeah, another intriguing matchup. I think the length of Kevin Holland is going to be matched with the length of Derek Brunson, and I think Derek Brunson has the size because Holland doesn't really cut any weight, but I think the same thing, he has a speed advantage, and he's unorthodox. When the fight hits the ground, he just scrambles. He's very lanky. He does all kinds of weird stuff, and he can hit you from anywhere. And now we know he can hurt you from anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think Derek Brunson got his hands full. I think Kevin Holland is one of the dark horses in that division.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, Aljo. Look, we have Derek in a couple of minutes, but obviously you're fighting Piotr Jan. You still don't have a location, correct, at 259, or have you? We have it that they're not sure where it's going to be.
Yeah, I was told it was going to be in Vegas.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right. They said it probably leaning towards the Apex, but they weren't 100% sure.
Hey, congratulations on your engagement, buddy. And
thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy married life. You think that's going to, you think you'd be the happy? Do you think that the happier you get, maybe that takes a little of your edge off? Does that scare you a little bit? Or are you excited?
I'm excited about it. I don't think.
She's not going to let that balloon stay on the wall when she moves in. Yeah, that kid ain't gonna fly.
I know. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Congratulations. Right,
good talking to you, Aljo. I'm sure we'll talk to you before the fight. You got a couple months, but you know, I'm happy for you, man, and you absolutely deserve this shot. So, and just good talking again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
All right. Peace.
All right. Bye, Aljo.
Peace, buddy.
Yeah, he's a great guy, right?
He's great, and he's such a great guy to watch. He's just exciting, and he's humble, but he's cocky. He's such a perfect mixture of a fighter that you want. You know what I mean? You want that cockiness, you want that fun, but you want, you know, that groundedness that he has. And his story, his backstory is it's a movie. It's a fucking movie. So it's good. It's exciting to see what happens to him in the next year or two.
Yeah, and I'm interested too. I love, like you said, the fight packages the UFC puts together, and they do such a good job with that. And I'm always interested in the life of a fighter because there's so many times they were bullied or they had got their ass kicked by a big brother. And it's funny to hear a guy like Aljamain, who's an alpha fucking guy. I mean, you know, he's a he'll probably be a bantamweight champion.
Yeah, Apex.
To think that I got to keep. It just goes to prove that all that childhood shit, man, I think it's healthy to talk about it and get it out.
I think it's great. And I think it's the most manly thing you could do. And that, I love the UFC pre-fight things that they put together because they're not just, you know, seeing a guy do a bunch of sit-ups and a bunch of, you know, pull-ups and his little, what he's doing. They show the story of the fighter. Right. And that's why that's what separates the UFC from boxing for me, because, you know, boxing did that for a little bit, but they kind of didn't keep up with it. And UFC really took it to another level where now I'm emotionally invested in him when he fights because I need to see him win, you know. So it's really, really great stuff. That was my favorite one. And, you know, not because, I mean, listen, my stepfather that abused me, you actually took his name and made it your name at the Comedy Cellar.
I did at one point do that. Like I would work under an assumed name then there just so people like fans are just working on material. And I'd also gotten a couple of death threats. So I was kind of using assumed names and one name was in fact, Bob's stepdad, which nobody knew.
For me when I showed up and I went, why is he here? Is he a comic?
Yeah. And it was, I will say I was only going to do it that once, but the comedians were so delighted with my decision. All the other comedians were so supportive. I had to leave it up. nothing has made them happier. And I honestly, man, I cannot, I'm so happy that 3 weeks off. Cause Dana was on a fucking literally every week. And I'm like, why are they not doing it? And then I'm like, oh yeah, they have employees that got to take a couple of, you know, I mean, the company has to decompress too. You got to give people time with their families and right back to great fights. And I don't know if you've noticed, Bobby, but I love the fact that there's so many changes and so many things happening last minute that are bad. Guy has to drop out of a fight, but then all of a sudden it's good because they make another, another matchup. Like Jacare and Holland fought because they both had changed opponents. because Jacques Ray had COVID. And I want to say Marvin Vettori the mind is just going. Antonio, could you just type in who you fought? Marvin Vettori was supposed to fight Jacques Ray, I think. And Kevin Holland.
But there's so many fighters now because the UFC went out and recruited. And, you know, that TV show that he does with Matt, you know, looking for a fight, that's a fun show. But they're also out there trying to find the next people and making this, you know, making the AAA league and bringing people up because of back in the day, there wasn't, you know, something happened to a fight. Everybody got fucked. Now they have so many people that are great in the organization that they could switch it out and figure it out on the fly. I mean, look what they did with COVID. I mean, they're the only sport that said, we're going to figure it out. And they did it.
They first. Did.
And then, I mean, you know, watching a fight without an audience, we were kind of adjusted to anyways because of this TV show. When you watch the TV show, you kind of were used to it. You know, that's just the way it was. So it wasn't such a shock. And I think, they're really good at figuring it out on the fly and still putting together an insane fight card that you want to see, you know?
And it's funny, they're going to start having crowds, smaller crowds or whatever. But I love the crowds because it's such a part of the sport. But I think of all the sports, mixed martial arts is the best one without a crowd, because at the end of the day, you're just watching two guys fight or two women fight, and watching two people fight and hearing their corners yell stuff or hearing the punching. Like, there's something really, I'm glad the crowds will eventually come back, but I will look back on this time and go, well, that was a really cool time too, because we got to see and hear shit we normally don't.
Yeah, I do agree with you. It is fun, but there's nothing. I've been to every sporting event, and there's nothing like going to a UFC main event card, because number one, it's not just the one fight. It's usually the whole night. You want to go out and watch the pre-fights because there's so many good fighters. Yes. But when that place fills up and that someone gets cracked, or when somebody gets into a situation and everybody stands up, and then, oh my God, it's just, it's fucking, it's, there's nothing like it. It's crazy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, Derek, how are you?
What's going on?
Hey, Matt, this is Bobby Kelly. He's a comedian buddy of mine. Matt is in Fight Island with Dana shooting.
Yeah, I don't want you to think Matt Sarah put on 80 pounds.
I was starting to think that. I was like, what's going on?
How you doing, man? This what a great matchup, you and Kevin Holland. And you guys have been kind of going back and forth already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love the matchup. We've been going back and forth. He's a guy who have a lot to say. That's more of his fighting style. That's what it's predicated off of, just talking a lot of trash. And I'm the guy that, you know, you want to talk trash to me, I'll talk trash back. And when it comes to the fight, I'm going to show up and fight.
Yeah, and I was watching the end of the Shabazzian fight again, and I had you picked in that fight. And again, just because I've seen you so many times, and also because against a young upstart like that, or I should say a legitimate contender, but a veteran, a lot of times, it was just interesting to watch how everything he did had been thrown at you before. And that second round, did you feel when he was coming into the third round that he just had lost whatever it was he needed to be in that fight? Could you feel that he was drained by the beginning of that third round?
Not more of so that. It was just more of so, it was my time and I had a lot to to prove there. You know, I was an underdog in that fight. I had a lot of people count me out. So it was that moment where I knew I was in shape and, hey, I was there to put it on them. And, you know, every fight going forward, you know, I'm not the youngest guy. I'm not getting any younger, but my body feels young. And just with sports and the science behind things right now, we're able to, like, prolong the career and feel great. So my knees feel like I'm 17 again. So, I look forward.
How does it make you feel when you were the underdog and everybody was counting against you? The odds were so crazy. And then you came out and you did it. And I mean, you weren't like, fuck you to everybody, but you were kind of, you know, like, I knew I could do it. It was pretty amazing. How'd that make you feel?
It felt good. You know, I haven't did a lot of things that I set out to do in this sport. I haven't got a title shot. I haven't been exactly top five yet. So those are still some of my goals. And to go out there and get it done against a guy, I think that probably would have been one away from a title shot. You know, he was pushing to be the youngest champ. It's funny, he had all the hype then and everybody was so high on him. But, you know, that's how it is. That's how our fan base is. Once you lose, everybody like, oh, I knew you suck. That's what you sucked at, you know. So, it felt good to go out there and get the job done. And I know my capabilities, so I'm always a believer of what I can do.
Holland is a hard guy to prepare for, though. I'm sure, like, he's a tricky guy because he seems to be very effective. And obviously 2020 was an amazing year for him. And we just, with Aljo, were talking about the Jacare knockout from the back. You know, is he a more difficult guy to prepare for than others, or do you not find that? Kevin Holland, yeah.
Yeah, nah, I don't think he's more prepared to train for it than others. He's kind of like a lot of guys I fight. I don't think his stand-up is nearly as good as Shabazzian. He's not as clean as or sharp. He's wild and reckless, you know. I don't think his cardio is really good. So I don't think he's hard to prepare for. I think you just have to be intelligent, be smart. Don't get it. It's funny, if you look at that fight and you watch fighting for a while, Jacare is a high-level BJJ guy. And for a guy to not have pressure on a guy when you take him down, it's kind of, you know, it's like, come on, bro, what are you doing? So it's more predicated off of Jacare got caught in the moment, got caught lollygagging, just not in the fight. He took him down pretty easy and didn't stay in the moment and got caught with some, you know, wild punches, allowed a guy to cop back and hit you, you know, with all the force there.
That's one of my favorite sayings, lollygagging, by the way. I'm so glad you used it in a sentence.
did you notice, Derek, and I noticed this, it was all because Kevin talks in a weird way. Like, a lot of guys taunt angrily, but he's almost like, hey, no bad feelings here. And he does it in a very unique way. And I almost look like Jacare got roped into that for a second and engaged him back. And I'm like, I wonder if that's a, like, psychologically Jacare got taken out of where he should have been because he was kind of being playful with this guy back or whatever.
Absolutely. He took him down. He took him down pretty easy. I think Jacare he probably thought that he can, you know, get him to the ground, take him down, smash him on the ground pretty easy. And I thought it came exactly how he thought. And Kevin Holland made a joke and he decided to be playful back. And Kevin Holland's like, I ain't playing with you. Bam. So that's one of those things. I mean, in this fight game, you can't be out here playing. You got to be in the moment. You got to be ready to go out here and take care of business. And I'm not the type of guy that's going to laugh and make jokes with you. I'm going to punch your face in. So you don't have to worry about that. Well,
it's weird because, I mean, you're 37. And if you win this fight, you're going on to a title match, maybe. I mean, that's what happened? Did you do something different in training, or did you not do something? What do you think is going on right now with you that you're just on this win streak?
I didn't cheat. I didn't take any shortcuts. I did everything the honest way. So my body isn't letting me down. My body isn't dependent or needing on something. I do everything natural. So I've been really focused on making sure I'm taking care of my body, doing the right things, training smart, not sparring every single day. Building my skill base. You know, I went in some of these fights, I was mad reckless and just didn't stick to the game plan. But now it's like, I'm like slapping myself before. I'm like, all right, I'm talking to myself like, you know what you did before. Let's not do that again, you know? So I'm really making sure that I pay attention to the small things so I can have great results.
Well, you look at a guy like we just mentioned Jacare. You look at a guy like, you know, Anderson Silva. I mean, after a while, it gets hard to keep the speed up, or Cormier. But guys are fighting into their 40s and being effective. I mean, you know, so you're right. Like, you know, you watch the, with the sports training and the medicine and knowing what you're knowing about when not to spar. You definitely could have quite a few fights left. I mean, you don't have to, you know, you have plenty of time to do what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you just have to keep chipping away. Just being smart, taking care of your body. Don't try to get the quick, easy way. Go in the gym, grind, be tired, bust your butt so that you it will translate for a long time and pay off and you can have good results.
We just talked to Aljamain, and there was that really, Bobby mentioned that great documentary. Did you see that thing they did about Aljamain, which was called Not Broken, where they kind of, they interviewed him and they talked about his family and they had his mom and he talked about his childhood. And it was really moving. And I always find it interesting as well, what fighters were like as kids and what kind of got you into fighting. Like when you were coming up, did you have an easy time of it, or were you bullied, or was there a lot of fighting that kind of forced you to be good at it?
Well, so I grew up with, what, five sisters, and I was the only boy. So I grew up, you know, having to fight and take care of my own battles, and that was just it. You know, I grew up in a low-income family in the project, so kids were pretty picky, and when you don't have any brothers, you got to fight all your battles. So that's how I grew up, you know, just taking care of myself, fighting my own battles. I was a guy that was in middle school, elementary school, just had all the jokes in the world, laughing, class clown, stuff like that. So that's pretty much how I grew up, just taking care of my own battles and just being myself.
Which one of your sisters are you still afraid of physically?
Which one of my sisters I'm still afraid of? Like I said, I can say neither, only because I was always fighting their battles. So it wasn't one of those, oh, I'm going to get my sister. You know, you can't say that too much. So, you know, so I just had to fight their battles and my battles. So I never got time to get beat up by my sisters. I had to be tough real quick.
Oh, you were the protective brother. Yeah, kind of the protective brother.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wilmington, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, look, man, you know, we love you and I'm really happy. And I know that, you know, there's nothing a fighter hates more than when all of a sudden, you know, some people start looking at you like a gatekeeper. And I know you absolutely are not in that role. And I'm three straight wins over really tough fighters, Shabazzian and Heinisch. Elias Theodoro. So good luck against Kevin Holland. Maybe we'll talk to you before, but I'm happy to hear your name all over the place, man, and you deserve it.
Yeah, man. Kick some ass, man. Have a great fight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that fight against Shabazzian, man, he really, there's nothing I enjoy more than watching Brunson drop somebody. His elbow at the end of that second round, which that was a really great example at the end of round two of someone being saved by the bell, because he was smothering him, just doing that stuff that you do when you've been around for a long time. Just those hands over the fucking dude's mouth. And no one likes that. No one likes it.
But it's also exciting to me because look, the guy who's supposed to win and be the next guy and blah, blah, blah. Yeah you want to see that progression and, but there's, to me, that Rocky thing where that guy, I'm not going to let this happen. I know you think this is just, I know everybody thinks this was going to happen, but I'm not going to, and only he knew it. And maybe his, you know, his coach and training partners, but really only he knew, right, I'm going to go win. And then when he did it, that type of satisfaction or that type of achievement, you know, the whole place is quiet. It's like, what the fuck was that? And a lot of plans were fucking canceled.
That's right.
A lot of things were fucking, a lot of phone calls were made. And I feel bad for the other guy, absolutely. But it makes me feel good when a guy like him figures it out, finds his way, and especially later in his career and gets to go out on fire, you know, maybe for a title.
And you know, I did pick Brunson in that fight, but a lot of times I'll go with the veteran, you know, and I'm trying to find when exactly that fight is. I will a lot of times pick the veteran and be incorrect, as well as everyone saw with the Cyril Gane against Junior Dos Santos. Have you seen that? Did you say, whoa, Cyril Gane is a very, very dangerous heavyweight. And I'm like, well, JDS's boxing is so good. He's a veteran. And he said, yeah, I couldn't have been wronger. So, you know,
if you want to win money, ask me my picks for any UFC fight. If you want guaranteed cash, call me and say, hey, who are you picking tonight? And then bet the exact opposite.
Yeah, I think it'd be easier to make money doing coke and buying Bitcoin. I think it'd be an, would be an easier way to make money. And, oh, boy, have I taken a beating recently on Bitcoin. asshole Bitcoin. I am. Always a day late.
Why? You're not buying Bitcoin now.
I bought it recently. Yeah. I mean, I haven't lost that much, just a little bit, but it's just, I can't. And I, and now if I sell it, it'll go up to 80,000. So I got to stay with it for a little while. But it's one of those things where it's just so hard to make these right picks, man. It's hard, especially with the amount of parity, and there's so many fighters that know how to do everything now. It's really difficult to pick.
Oh, it's crazy because all, dude, everybody's so good now. Back in, you know, when we first started getting into it, it was, you know, you kind of knew who was going to fucking win. I mean, it was just, you know, you there was so little, you know, so many, so less, so, I don't know. So there was less fighters back then.
Yeah, sure.
Now it's crazy. And they're so well-rounded now. I mean, they know so much about everything, you know?
Well, that was around 2007 or 2008 that we started going. I mean, I remember when Rampage ran up, when Reed bought Rampage over, and Hoist Gracie was the, in the was it Hoist Gracie? That was a yes. He was sitting.
We met everybody.
And that was like in that time, 12, 13 years ago. So many of these fighters were kids then that are now 22, 23, 25 years old. So they've been training, watching, like they're coming up with UFC as opposed to it's guys
similar,
who were
it's similar to comedy. Before. It's similar to comedy to me too, because when we were coming up, there wasn't as many people doing it. We were all kind of silhouetted in our own thing. Now, we didn't have the opportunity to turn on the TV and watch 17 different channels with stand-up comics.
Right.
You had to listen to a tape or a record, and it wasn't on radio. It wasn't on, there was no YouTube. So we had the only way we saw comedy was by going to the club and doing it, you know, and being in it. And now they do so much homework from when they're little kids watching Comedy Central, Netflix.
Right.
So by the time they start doing it, they know what a setup, a punch, a tag is. They know so much about the actual mathematics of stand-up. Then when they go on stage, it's so I think fighters are similar. It's like they get to watch all the footage and see what's going on, and the gyms are available to everybody. You know, jiu-jitsu wasn't as available back then, you know, as it is now. You know, every city has a jiu-jitsu place, and you know, boxing or mixed martial arts, and you know, mixed martial arts wasn't as acceptable back then either.
I remember we met John Jones. Did I give you the picture I had, Bobby? I did give it to you, right?
No, I never got the pictures. I
have pictures that are signed that I had for you that I want to give you.
I would love them. I would love to frame them and have them and hang them in Max's room. But yeah, I remember that. If you remember that, it's the night when I said that kid's going to be champion.
Yes, you did. You said he's going to be a future champion.
Yeah.
You did say that, and you were right. And it's funny now, too, thinking of Jones going up to heavyweight. And Ngannou is fighting Miocic, I think, in March. Is there a rematch? And that first fight was so interesting, the way Stipe kind of smothered him. And it was just such a veteran against a younger power puncher. Yeah. Brilliant way to win that. I don't know if he'll be able to do that again. I think, but then again, Francis's wins have all been first round knockouts. He went one decision with Derek Lewis after that, and then it was all first round knockouts. So that's a really interesting matchup. Can he do the same thing again, or can Derek, Francis get a hold of him?
I don't know. Stipe is just, he just figures it out, man. He's like he's just a hard worker, figures it out and gets the job done. You know, it's hard to bet against him, you know, and he's so not into the other shit. He doesn't care about anything else.
He's a fucking fireman, dude. He's crazy.
Yeah. I remember when they did one of the UFC things, he was just excited about having a new snowblower.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just a man. That's just a fucking guy. He's just happy about this snowblower because he lives in fucking shitty Cleveland where it snows 19 feet in September.
Yeah. Stipe is a very, I mean, that's a fight. I don't know who I would take in that fight because, again, Francis has looked so ferocious. I mean, again, he looked ferocious before he fought Stipe the first time.
Yeah. But,
you know, will a guy be able to implement the same game plan twice? I don't know. I mean,
yeah, but it seems like he gets there, but he doesn't get it done.
Francis?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. He one thing I liked about Ngannou is that after that fight, he goes, I underestimated my opponent. He admitted he had gotten caught up in his own hype. And right. Then against Derek Lewis, he was afraid to pull the trigger a little bit, I think. And Lewis, I think, had a bad back. But I think Francis was afraid of, I just lost a little faith in himself, maybe. And then after that, it was, you know, Kane, JDS, and I want to say Curtis Blaydes, just three devastating fucking knockouts. So I don't know. It'll be very interesting. And Stipe can be knocked out. Like, you know, that's the thing. Anyone can be. But after, you know, Cormier did finish him with that short, I want to say it was a left, kind of in the clinch. So I don't know. It'd be really, really interesting. And Jones going up to that, that's a big jump, man.
I know, and I'm sad that I'd love to see Cormier fight Jones again. That would be I'd love to see it, man. I would love to see it just because, their personal off-camera shit is so compelling. And, Jones going up to heavyweight is just exactly what the heavyweight division needs.
Yeah.
Because I love Stipe, and I do like him because he doesn't give a shit about the hoorah. But the heavyweight division needs the hoorah. It needs that Brock. It needs that, it needs somebody in there to, because that's the division everybody loves, really.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been hot to me in a long time. It hasn't been exciting in a long time when for years it was the number one. That and light heavyweight was what you were paying to see. Now it's the smaller divisions,
bantamweight and lightweight. Bantamweight.
That's the exciting divisions right now. You know,
I'm trying to find the heavyweight rankings right now, but there are some really exciting. Lewis is always fun to watch. Overeem is just, I probably have more respect for him than anybody because of the fact that he's figured out at his age how to adjust, and he's such a smart guy. And he's such a smart fighter, and he just knows how to get you against the cage and drop those fucking awful knees into your midsection. Like, he just knows.
Overeem was always one of those guys. I mean, I remember that would do those things where he'd go to Japan to fight, and he had like 17 Japanese girls hanging off his arms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he'd be eating horse meat in his videos, and, he had that Dutch sense of humor, which is not that funny. You don't know if he's being serious or not. You're like, what?
Yeah,
and they always go, is this possible? It's like, what? You know?
You have no idea if he's kidding or if he's not.
Yeah. He was always great to watch, man. He's just a physical specimen. And even like later in his years, he's not as what he was, but he's still, he's like that Dutch superhero. When he goes in there, you're expecting, you don't know, he can win or he gets knocked the hell out, you know? Yeah.
And there's some amazing fights. Dominic Cruz against Casey Kenney. I'm really happy Dominic Cruz is getting back in there. He just loves it so much. And Alexander Rakic against Thiago Santos, another very, very interesting fight. There's some really, really great stuff coming up in the next few months. And I'm really happy the UFC is starting to get some people back. But again, I mean, if this pandemic lasts for another 8 months or another year, I mean, Dana and the UFC combined with whoever worked with them in Abu Dhabi to make this work, I mean, really has just been flawless.
Yeah, they got Carlos Condit and Matt Brown coming back too.
That's right.
Which I follow Carlos on Instagram. He's always been one of my favorite fighters.
Yeah.
And and Brown is just, from when he was on The Ultimate Fighter. He's just, such. I just been a fan of both of them, and I love when guys I like equally fight each other.
Yeah,
that's my favorite part about the UFC is that you can like both guys.
Yes, you can.
And that fight's going to be pretty. It's going to be fun to watch just because those guys, from back in the day,
But it's hard to. It's very hard to pick who you want to win. You can pick who you think might win. But when you've interviewed these guys and talked, they're all nice guys. Like all of them I like. And it's like, I really like Kevin Holland. We've had him on a few times. Brunson, I love. Who do you root for? Like as a fan, it's removed a little bit of the desire not to see. I don't know who to root for because I like
not them. If you're Brazilian and not if you're Irish.
Yeah, that's
it,
true.
For an American, it might be a little, but when you're Brazil, you want the Brazil. Oh, if you're Irish, you know, Conor McGregor, you know, that's your guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, man.
That fight's coming up, which is going to be nuts.
There's so much good shit coming. Oh, and let's, before we wrap up, let's just say an amazing, Calvin Kattar is fighting, this weekend. We get back against Max Holloway, just a great fight in Etihad Arena in Abu Dhabi. That's where you got Condit, Matt Brown, and Li Jilong against, Santiago Ponzinibbio. Another great fight. So we'll talk more about that on Wednesday.
That's the worst part about being a UFC fan is having to learn these names.
Very difficult. Matt and I probably get half of them wrong. You know, and we try to be respectful of the fighter. You always try to do it. But when you're reading a list of so many guys, once you know it, you always know it. But it's the first time. Right. And then you'll go online and you'll hear Dana say it. And then you'll hear Bruce Buffer say it. And then you'll hear Dominic Cruz say it. And they're all saying it with a slightly different. So you just got to get the fighter to say it. And then you realize you can't say it like they do.
When Rogan used to call him Jose.
Yeah.
And I used to say Jose. And you're like, who, what, Jose?
Yeah.
And then you find out Rogan's right. It's Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but again, plenty of people still call him Jose Aldo. Like, you know, it's very difficult with all the names. Anyway, Bobby, thank you so much. And thank you to Derek Brunson. And thank you to Aljamain Sterling. Those guys are both really, really great.
Yeah, fantastic. It was great talking to them. Great guys.
Yeah. And what are you promoting, Bob? Where can people catch you? I know you're doing a Patreon show and you got your own show.
Actually, it's funny because Conor McGregor's fight, I had to cancel one of my shows. I was scheduled on the 23rd to do my first pay-per-view.
Oh.
So I moved it to the 30th.
Okay,
because I figured, you know, some of my fan base might, if they had to choose between me and Conor McGregor, I don't think it would be a difficult choice.
Yeah, live from Dublin, Bob Kelly, you know, yeah.
So I got a pay-per-view going on the 30th of January at the Wall Street Theater in Norwalk, Connecticut. You can go to it. There's 100 seats available, or you can buy it all over the world. That's me live. And you go to my website, robertkellylive.com, for the tickets and availability to buy the pay-per-view. So you can buy it and you can all get your friends and sit in the living room and watch the show live from the theater in Connecticut, which is great. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great, man. Making it work until this whole mess is over.
Yeah, we got to figure it out, right?
Yeah. All right, Bobby. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on. I love having you on. And I'm sure Matt will call in on Wednesday. And I'll talk to you soon, pal, okay?
I love you, buddy. I'll see you later.
All right, pal. Thank you guys for listening. Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.